Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley this day. Today is the next to the last Sunday in ordinary time. I know you already knew that, and I apologize for just bringing it up again. Next week is Christ the King, and then after that, we'll have our first Sunday of Advent. But today, we're still just pretty ordinary. I do want to let everybody know, though, that next week is the Feast of Christ the King, but also it's going to be a little unordinary, because Peggy and I are doing a moment for mission. So it's going to be wild, and just maybe wear appropriate head protection, that kind of thing, because it's going to be, don't worry, Peggy, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. So, but today, it is wonderful to be here in God's house among God's people. And I would ask you to please follow along with our call to worship today, inspired by Psalm 98. O sing to our Creator a new song.
Make a joyful noise to God, everyone.
With trumpets and sounds of the horn.
We create joyful sounds for you, God above.
The hills will sing together in bliss.
Just as the sea roars and the artists cry, we serenade our Creator.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing together our first hymn, O Sing to the Lord. Strength at the signs of conflict in our communities and world, we cower instead of running towards the needs of our neighbors. We believe the end is near, but in actuality, this is another wave of dread coming from our fellow humans. Unfortunately, we can't simply wish this conflict away. Instead, you call us to walk through the fire and to use our voices. Forgive us when we want to stop instead of continuing to follow the way of Jesus. Give us grace and hope, even when betrayal and hate are raining upon us. Beloved, shame and despair will not overtake us. The grace of God sustains us from dawn until dusk and in the depths of the night. Amen. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's love and peace. Peace be with you.
Much love.
Speak your words in foreign lands, and all will know. Be not afraid. I go before you. So every step you take, regardless of where it goes, every step, God is there waiting for you to bless, to strengthen, to renew, to love you. So wherever we go, be not afraid. I go before you always. Come follow me. How wonderfully blessed we are with such promises. We gather now to pray together as every church must, as God's people come together. We offer our prayers for each other, for the world, for our churches, for God's strength and guidance and blessing. There'll be moments of silence in which I would invite you to say what you need to say before God today and pray for whoever you need to pray for this day. Especially a request from AJ and Suzanne, a lifelong friend, Joy Brown, having major surgery tomorrow. Please remember her. Some of you may remember that we have an occasional visitor over on this side by the name of Karen Maxer. She shows up once in a while, and we haven't seen her for a while. She had knee surgery, and this on the 20th of this coming week, another knee surgery. Isn't that great? She can do both. So remember Karen, and offer your prayers today that her surgery will go well. So let us join hearts, lives. Let us be one in prayer before God as we offer ourselves. Let us pray. Oh God, we praise you for your abiding guidance, for the invitation to live life without fear, and this promise that you go before us, and we can't take a step unless we also find you there. For such a wonderful grace, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our teacher, our Messiah, our Lord, who has come into our world to model and demonstrate for us the way of life. The way of abundant life, the way of life in its fullness and completeness, to show us what it means to really breathe and love and live and forgive and bless and trust. For his marvelous life for us, we give you thanks. Open our ears this day once again, that we can hear your voice speaking directly to our hearts, calling us to a life greater than what we would ever live on our own, a life of deep commitment. A life of strong compassion. A life of service in which we give ourselves away day after day after day. We give ourselves away and then find that we are richer than ever before. Oh God, you are full of surprises. We find ourselves in places and situations that we never thought we would find or experience. And then you call us to find our purpose and power in these unexpected places. We would trust you today to show us and lead us into the joy and wonder of your amazing grace. We are aware of the world in great need this day. Anger, violence, greed. We remember the people in Gaza, where after everything else being lost, the cold rains come to wet the tent and the clothes, starving people. Oh God, you make wars to cease to the ends of the earth, and we pray that the fragile peace that has begun in the Middle East will grow and thrive into the fullness of new life where so much death has been experienced. We think of the people of Ukraine and the bombs that are falling on the places where gas and heating facilities are being destroyed, and millions of people are in danger of going through this next winter without heat, having lost so much. This too, great burden. So we pray for those who can make decisions for a different way to be shown how to do that, be shaken into a different way to think and to live. We think of the people of Sudan, where the greatest humanitarian disaster of our day finds so much destruction, so many tears, so many lost lives, so much hunger. Oh God, gather up your world with your hands of compassion and love. Bring us to a different world. Now in this silence, oh God, we bring to you our prayers for those that we love and know. Prayers for Joy and her surgery tomorrow. Prayers for Karen and her surgery on the 20th. Prayers for others who in some way are broken and need to be blessed and healed. And even for ourselves. So now we pray our prayer to you. Oh God, thank you for your call to love and serve you with body, mind, and spirit, and to love your whole creation and our sisters and brothers as even we love ourselves. Open our hearts to a great compassion as in each in our own way attempts to reach out and touch the needs of the world in a reconciling and healing way. So God, pour out your strength and courage upon us. And bless us now as we remember to pray as Jesus taught disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. It's interesting. I've done all my final paperwork that needs to be done to plan my funeral and my end of life, things like that. And I want Be Not Afraid to be sung at my funeral. And I want Pastor to preach at it too. So, and that's all written down. So I feel so thank you. And let us stand rising in body or spirit and sing together hymn number 373, O Day of Peace. Please be seated, and our ushers will come forward for this morning's offering.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, starting at verse 5 from the Common English Bible. Some people were talking about the temple and how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for these things you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." They asked him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? What sign will show that these things are about to happen?" Jesus said, "Watch out that you aren't deceived. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I'm the one,' and 'It's time.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. These things must happen first, but the end won't happen immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There'll be great earthquakes, wide-scale food shortages, and epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. But this will provide you with an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. I'll give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to counter or contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives, and friends. They will execute some of you. Everyone will hate you because of my name. Still, not a hair on your heads will be lost. By holding fast, you will gain your lives." A reading of the word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm glad Peggy left, because I don't know, she was a real downer, wasn't she? I mean, my goodness. Where did that text come from? The Bible. Oh, it's a tough text. It is. And that's why I think it's one of the reasons why I like to blame it, that people began to really avoid me from Wednesday on, because I was miserable. When people asked me, "How are you?" it was all I could do not to tell them the whole truth and list all of my ailments, either real or imagined. And what really bothered me most of all was when the stores at the clerk, just being nice, would say, "Have a nice day." Because I had to bite my tongue so that I wouldn't reply, "Really, have a nice day. How can I have a nice day when my dear ones are experiencing this, when the world is this, and then, you know, when this is the text for the week?" We've all had weeks like that. In the midst of my real and imagined, exaggerated miseries, here comes apocalyptic Jesus. Last night I got a text from my friend. She and her husband often come here. She and her husband are Rebecca DePoe's aunt and uncle, but I'm very good friends with them. And for many years, they've kind of followed me around from churches to churches, popping in occasionally. And so they know that I follow the lectionary. Well, last night they went to church at St. Gabriel of the Sorrowful Virgin in the South Hills, and I got this text, "Are you preaching on this tomorrow?" And then she sent me a picture of the bulletin from St. Gabe's last night. And I said, "Yeah, what did the priest say? Maybe now I know," because I was still struggling over the sermon for today. And she said, "Oh, boy. You're going to make everybody feel miserable reading this one, just like the priest made us feel miserable too." Because the truth is, when we come to church, when we hear God's word, we want to be comforted. We want the priest or preacher to be able to tell us it's all going to be okay. But the reality is that when we hear God's word, it's not always going to make us feel better. God's word, afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. And so often God's word sits with us and it just feels bad. Now the thing is though, hopefully when we come together at this time, by the time we walk out of church with one another and with the Holy Spirit guiding us, we do go out feeling more grounded in God's love and in our love for each other. But that said, this passage doesn't seem to offer any chance of that happening. Because our text today is bleak. We have Jesus and his disciples on their way to Jerusalem. And we know very soon, for this is the Tuesday of Holy Week, we know what is to come. And this piece right here is a portion of Luke's gospel that is referred to as apocalyptic literature. And to our modern ears, that term sounds terrifying, even just the words, and the passage is terrorizing. But see, the word comes from the Greek word apokalypse, meaning uncovering or revealing, even though today we almost always just associate it with the end of the world. But this apocalyptic literature, it's found in the Bible in different places, the whole book of Daniel, and this passage, of course, with its disturbing images, the warnings of what was thought of as true and sure and eternal, the temple, your family, the people that you depend on, the place that you find your rest and your identity, that beautiful building, that temple, all of that is going to be stripped away. It was all just temporary. It's falling, it's fallen, it's gone. Now we can take a text like this and we can cherry pick it right out of context, and many have. Apocalyptic words like these are often used to predict the actual end of days and to scare people. We've been predicting the end of days for a long time, well before him it happened. But in the year around the year 1000, Pope Sylvester II said the world would end in the year 1000. And Martin Luther said it was going to end no later than 1600. And the Puritan minister Cotton Mather said Christ was coming in 1697, 1716, and then three strikes you're out when it didn't come in 1736. He just quit trying to figure it out. Jerry Falwell, midnight, January 1st, 2000. Pat Robertson, October, November, 1982, and April 29th, 2007. And it still goes on today. I've collected some wonderful images of some very uplifting Jesus' love billboards here. Maybe you've seen some of these. I've noticed an uptick of them. Where will you spend eternity? And this next one, which is great. Hell is real. That makes me want to follow Jesus and these people. And then we have some actual predictions. Noah knew, will you know? Judgment Day was May 21st, 2011. No. And they got that wrong. And so then they decided for November 23rd, 2016. Now, people have made a lot of money and a lot of noise using texts like this one, using words of Jesus to create fear. And it seems a little strange that these charlatans who thrive on this are indifferent to the fact that Jesus says right here, people are going to be false teachers and they're going to tell you that the time is coming. Pay no attention to them. Now, we could do the same. Many do. We could start to panic and we could start to prep, but I just have this image of Jesus saying, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Because remember, this is apocalyptic writing here. It's usually written during a disaster or right after to help people make sense of a very difficult crisis. And here, the disaster was the destruction of the temple by the Roman government. That happened in the year 70, and this was written about 10 or 20 years later. Using this unsettling language and imagery, it's meant to assure the people that they should and they can keep trusting in God, even when it seems that the worst is happening, even when it seems that the worst has happened. And that's what we also have in the words of Jesus today. Even after Jesus gives these awful descriptions, these events, these betrayals to come, he says to them, do not be afraid. Not a hair on your head will be harmed. God is present with you. And so can you see how that might be helpful to people who are struggling, help them make sense of their lives in a chaotic situation where they're cut off at the knees? Luke has linked these current struggles and pain into a larger picture that promises that after this immediate misery, after this end, because it is an end, it's not the end, but after this end, all will be well. And if we look in history, we know that we've been through many ends. The 20th century saw the collapse of 7 empires: Mandarin China, Germany, Austria-Hungary, the Ottoman Turkey, Japan, the British Empire, and twice with the fall of Tsarist Russia and Soviet Russia. Empires rise and fall. And it's painful. So much destruction. But through it all, God has been present, and God's people have continued. Many, many endings, but not the end. Personally, I know that we have all had our own endings. When the one we love and treasure dies, when the marriage that we have worked hard to cultivate and had hopes for crumbles, when our livelihood, our job is taken away, when our churches close, all of these endings, such pain. But through it all, there has been no end to God's love. It was more than a decade ago now, and at that time I was doing pulpit supply on Sundays, and there was one church that I filled in for a lot because my friend was the pastor, and when she and her husband family would go away, I would preach for her. Well, this was a Saturday night, and it was from the ruling elder of that church. I think that was his title. And it was a text that said, "Can I call you?" Now, nobody calls anymore. I mean, even 10 years ago, nobody calls unless it's something really serious. And so I was worried even as I called him, and I was right to be worried, because the elder told me that their pastor, my friend, that the church, his church, was in crisis. And I won't share the salacious details, but my dear friend, their beloved pastor, was not well and had not been well for some time. And it was discovered that she'd been engaged in some very destructive behavior, and the church had no choice but to immediately relieve her from her position. And I remember him choking back the tears as he said this to me. I remember me choking back the tears as we talked through this. He said, "Can you preach tomorrow? Can you fill in? Can you walk alongside us in the midst of all this?" This friend of mine, a pastor I loved, one who inspired me, who I learned from, this church was on an upswing. It was one of those places where you walk in, like this place, and you feel surely the presence of God is here. How could something like this happen? And as the weeks and months went on, I would have long visits and conversations with my friend's husband. Their situation was not repairable. His life and the lives of their children broken, destroyed, reduced to rubble. It was the end of that world. And this church community was broken. The building looked great, but it was crumbling. It seemed to be crumbling, but that was just an illusion. I remember talking with a group of parishioners, and one woman said, "The core of our church is crumbling." And another woman said, "No, no, no. The core of our church is Jesus. But we are in bad shape." And somehow, in those weeks and months, this beautiful congregation was able, like Jesus recommends here, to testify to one another during this time by sharing stories of God's faithfulness in other times when it seemed like the whole world was ending. And yet, how God's sustaining love brought new life and new hope. Something did end. My friend's marriage, her pastorate, but what did remain was God's love, which grew among the people, and eventually they called another pastor, and today they serve together, and they seem to be a place where people who feel that they are at the end know that they are welcome to share their story, because it will be received and heard and nurtured. They will be reminded of God's sustaining love. And so for you and for I, for this church, for churches in turmoil, for God's children in war and in pain, we will get through these endings. Scripture says, though the mountains may fall and the hills turn to dust, the love of the Lord will stand. Amen. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing hymn 80, "You Shall Go Out with Joy." And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen. Amen.